This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Thanks for joining us on the program today. We're going to be talking about men's health today. June is Men's Health Month. We're joined by Dr. Dave Kolodner from the Family Practice Center office in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. He's been with the organization for about a decade now, and he's joined us to talk about Men's Health Month and hopefully get some folks out to the doctor to potentially catch problems before they get out of control. As you'll hear today, getting some folks to the doctor appointment can be a challenge. We want to thank Dr. Kolodner for joining us today on the program. Now, June is Men's Health Month. We hear about those designations a lot, but as a man who is not easy to get to the doctor, I thought this was a good topic to address and put in a good word for other people's health too. Is it literally a fact that men do go to the doctor less often?
It is. Whether it's documented, I don't know, but it's absolutely a fact. It's especially the 45 to 65 year range. Men are much harder to get into the doctor.
Yeah. And why do you think that is? Is it that especially that age group? I would think it's there's too many things that could be wrong.
Yeah, I think there's a couple factors. You know, you think about the old nature versus nurture debate, and I think our generations growing up, you know, I still remember, you know, getting hurt on the football field, and they say rub some dirt on it and get back out there. I think it was that kind of mentality that we were raised with, where you, unless it's stopping you from continuing to function, you don't want to acknowledge that it's you're hurt. You just have to keep going. So I think we men are just raised with that, you know, especially men in those generations are raised with that mentality. And I think some of it is hormonal, testosterone. We tend to think ourselves invincible until we're not. And I think there's a bit of a stigma and fear sometimes in those generations of men, you know, don't want to be looked to feel like there's this, where people, they don't think people to think they're weak. They don't want to acknowledge that there's something wrong. And I think that, you know, men kind of go into that with this dreaded fear of, oh, they're going to find something bad, or the pessimistic view where they say, you know what, they're looking for something bad. They just can't wait to tell me there's something wrong. And I, you know, that's not the case by any means, but I think men tend to have that mentality.
Yeah, so the fear is there too, especially after a certain age, because sure. I, you know, when I went at 25, it was like, oh, they're gonna, you know, listen to my heart and send me home. But then you think, well, what if that heart isn't functioning properly?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
and I think it's, you know, what guys don't tend to think about when that situation is, something's gonna go wrong whether you come to see me or not. It's a matter of, can we catch something early enough that we stop it from becoming a problem that, you know, changes your life. And that's the way that guys don't think, that women tend to think about more. That next step is, you know, how can we prevent this from going bad?
And this is a conversation at our house all the time, because my wife will say, you know, I have this problem I didn't tell you about, I'm going to go get it checked out. Whereas for me, it would have been, you know, 6 months till I said,
yeah,
okay, I really have to get this checked out. Is that male to female, like, especially among married couples, probably something you see?
Every day I see it. And it's really funny, because even the smallest things, and you think about a sinus infection, and the women are in there 2 days after it starts, and I'm still, you know, and I have to look at them and say, well, it's still a virus at this point. You still have a cold. I can't give you an antibiotic yet. And men tend to be, well, I've had this going on for about 3 months now, and I'm sitting here going, why didn't you come in after a week, you know?
I'm constantly blamed for the level of retinal damage I had, because my wife says I should have gone sooner, but if somebody had told me,
sure,
I would have gone, but
sure,
you know, I was in no hurry to find out something was wrong with me.
So. Absolutely.
All right. Is this something you're aware of during June, Men's Health Month, or do you through family practice, is there anything that you kind of promote?
I don't know if we have any current promotions with Family Practice Center for the month of June. I think every month is Men's Health Month for us. You know, I know that kind of the other month that, in general, in our populace, we do a lot of promotion for is November. There's a lot of guys that do what we call No Shave November, which is, you know, in support of prostate cancer awareness. But, you know, certainly I think every month is Men's Health Month. We'll take you any month if we can get you in the door to get you healthy. It's not necessarily just in June. But
okay. And, you know, after a
a certain age? I mean, I know there's certain ages for screening. Do you, mm-hmm. is that kind of start around 40, 45, where there's certain things you can expect?
Yeah. So before 45, you know, I will have someone come in for a yearly physical. We'll do some blood work to check their cholesterol. You know, kind of some routine screening that way to make sure there's nothing family history wise, their sugars aren't high. At 45 is when we traditionally, or we usually start colon cancer screening. It used to be 50, we moved it up to 45, and that's because we're seeing colon cancer in younger populations now. So that's the first big screening, is at 45. Unless you have a family history, then we start a little earlier. 50 is when we start with prostate screening, and then we continue to do all of our routine screenings, cholesterol, checking, you know, kidneys and liver and all of the normal things with some blood work. But 45 and 50 are the two, for men, the two most, you know, kind of consequential screenings that we do.
Now, when I was, I think, 45, mm-hmm. I went in and they slapped an EKG on me. Is that a...
Yeah, I don't think there's not a set age for EKGs. We will do one usually are in the 45 to 50 range. You know, they're very simple. It's a sticker on your chest and 5 minutes to look at the rhythm of your heart to make sure there's nothing wrong. Normally in the general population, we start to see, you know, more rhythm problems with the heart a little bit later on in life. But we will usually want to do a baseline to see what they are when their heart is normally beating. So that if something goes wrong 10 years later, we kind of can compare them to what it was in the past. But there's not a set age for an EKG, but somewhere in that range we'll do one.
But with a lot of that stuff, you're kind of monitoring via the blood to see if there are other
monitoring issues. With simple blood work with our physical exam. A lot of it is patient history and talking to the patient, you know, finding out what's been bothering them or what their family has dealt with, and, you know, kind of being able to narrow down what we need to look at that way.
How much has this knowledge kind of increased over the last 50 years? I mean, certainly we weren't checking for cholesterol levels in 1950.
It's been exponential, and it changes. You know, it used to, you know, the medicine and science used to change every 5 to 10 years, and then it was every 1 to 5 years, and now it's every 6 months.
Wow.
You know, there's always new tests. There's new medicines. There's new theories that come up that are constantly evolving and changing, and kind of letting the data guide us on how we do these things. But it has become a very rapidly evolving field. Absolutely.
Okay. Obviously you can't give specific names or situations, but sure. Are there certain frustrations that you have with people who just, you can't get to come back, even if it's a, you know, like a common physical, like I recently had.
Sure. There's two types. There's the person that, you know, I have to drag in the door once a year in order to come see me. And the person who I should probably be seeing every 4 to 6 months, who will only come in once a year because they won't come in any other time to see me. So sometimes that's a frustration where it's a little bit harder to get them in control with their diabetes or with their cholesterol because they won't come back and recheck it as often as they should. And then the other frustration is the guy that will come and see me once a year, but flat out refuses to do any of the screening things that I recommend, who might do the blood work, but flat out refuses to get a colonoscopy or to do the at-home colon cancer test. So there's that type too, where they say, well, if something bad happens, I don't want to know about it. Well, the whole idea of coming to see me is to find something before it goes bad and stop it from happening, to fix it before. You know, preventative medicine is the idea. So that's always a frustration. I say, well, why do you continue to come to see me if you don't want to be helped, if you don't want to do anything?
Are there any certain problems that men tend to ignore more?
Men tend to ignore every problem under the sun.
No specifics.
The bigger, the more they'll ignore it. You know, we see that men will ignore, you know, taking colon cancer, for example, men will ignore the early signs of, you know, changes to their bowels, you know, the change in consistency or the change in shape of their stools. They'll ignore a little bit of blood that's in their stool until it becomes so apparent that they can ignore it anymore. Whereas we see women who the first sign of anything changing, they are running down the street trying to bang on your door. So it is definitely a difference.
So if people wonder why we're observing Men's Health Month, this has been a good lesson in that. It really, night and day between
absolutely
genders absolutely coming to see you.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, what about mental health? Is that something that, you know, that there's always seems to be a stigma with that too? Do you find men having that same concern?
There is a stigma, and it's, you know, there shouldn't be, but there is. And I think, again, that is a generational thing as well. You see younger men are much more, you know, in tune with the mental health and searching out help to get it, sometimes to the point where they're a little bit neurotic about it, where they overdo it. But I think in men, there's a little bit more of a stigma. And I think they, you know, a lot of times when they have some anxiety or they have some depression, they really don't want to seek help for it because they think it's something that, again, it's a self-imposed weakness, where it's not a weakness because everyone deals with it, but, you know, men tend to think that it's a weakness and don't want to talk about it. Or they think I'm going to put them down on the leather couch and ask them how they're feeling, which is not the case.
And that's what, when you fill out the paper mm-hmm. kind of indicating your mental health,
mm-hmm.
I'm at least I'm not the only one that does this, but yeah. I've talked to other people who said the same thing, that they feared, what if I sound too crazy and yeah. they take me away? I mean, it's you're gauging it so you can help them though,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been practice here in Sunbury for almost 10 years and no one's gone away in the paddy wagon, I promise.
None of them have been allowed.
You know, those questions, and when we ask about these things, it's, you know, looking for things that guys might not want to talk about, that sometimes I have to drag it out of them. But the whole goal is to figure out what you need to help you, to keep you going as strongly as possible. And there's no such thing as too crazy. And I've seen the widest extent of that. And I've seen it on both ends of the spectrum. And there's no such thing as too crazy to need help. And whether it's just having a little bit of anxiety about a certain thing, whether it's feeling down and depressed all the time, whether it's, you know, having hallucinations and, you know, seeing things that aren't there, to every end of the spectrum, there's nothing we can't do to help that's not, you know, something that, you know, that guys don't want to talk about. So,
and I guess people who say that I won't have this checked out, it's no big deal, and the people that say I'm having everything checked out, it must be a big deal. I mean, you got to find a balance. But do you find that you do find yourself telling people, well, you know, at least let's just, you know, give it a shot, see what could be wrong, as opposed to the people who just come in for everything.
Yeah, and I do get those people too that come in with a list a mile long of every nick and complaint, and that's okay. I'd rather have them do that and tell me how they're feeling than someone who, when I ask them how they're feeling or if there's anything they're worried about, they just grunt at me and say no. But you know, I think that it takes a little bit more work on my end to kind of pull it out of you. But there's nothing wrong with that. It's, you know, it's really about, you know, what's affecting your life. And some guys deal with something for so long that they just accept it as part of their life and then don't want to tell me about it. So it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with either way, but it's, you know, if you're able to say, hey, this is something that, you know, maybe isn't what I was like 10 years ago, sometimes it's worth bringing up. And there's times when I'll look at you and say, hey, that's getting older. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's times where I say, hey, this is a real thing. This is something that you're dealing with. You know, here are the options for what you can do. I'm never going to force someone to do a treatment, but at least, you know, in my brain, knowledge is the strongest thing we can have. So if you know that's something you're dealing with and you know it's actually a real thing and not something you're making up in your head, a lot of times you're more likely to think about, you know, how much is this affecting my life? You know, maybe I should think about something that can help me with this. And I always try to give them a wide range of options. It's not necessarily here's a pill, get out the door. It's, you know, trying to look at what's causing this and, you know, how we can help you to feel like yourself again.
Okay. And in your time in medicine, it's probably always been there, but the piece of advice I personally would give to people is stay away from Google.
Yeah,
the doctor.
Dr. Google is you know, as much as Google has revolutionized our world, Dr. Google drives me nuts because invariably, I think every symptom you could ever type into Google at some point is going to tell you you have, you know, stage 4 cancer and you're going to die. And usually it's just, you know, a bruise. And it drives me nuts with Dr. Google. And I think I've seen jokes with coffee mugs that yeah. says, you know. But it's, you know, the information age and has really changed the way that patients look up their own symptoms and educate themselves. And I think that scares some people when they say, I've had this cough for a month and you know, Google tells them they have, you know, bad lung cancer, and really they just, you know, have been dealing with allergies for a while. And there is a medium ground where the internet, while it has every resource we can imagine and all of the knowledge that we've stored as a society, there are some times where it's not perfect, and there's a lot of times where it's going to give you the most standing out diagnoses, not necessarily the right diagnosis.
I know I have to avoid it because the way my brain works, it will do exactly that. Yeah. So the key is go see your doctor. Yeah.
Let me check it out. Like I said, I'm not that scary, only a little scary.
Okay. Now, any advice for the wives, the kids, the girlfriends to, you know, without seeming naggy, but to get their significant other in their life moving.
Listen, and never tell my wife this, but nagging works. Okay, it's sometimes you have these guys are stubborn. You have to continue to stay on them and nag them. You know, sometimes a guilt trip works. You know, you have grandchildren now. You want to be around to see them graduate, and sometimes those guilt trip works. Now you got to be careful because the guys are different. Some guys are going to shut down when you say those things, but. Continue to push your loved ones because that's, you know, sometimes the only way you're going to get that guy in the door.
Okay. If you could put a message out there on a billboard between here and Sunbury that for Men's Health Month, what do you put on there?
I said, now's the time to get checked out. And that's kind of the logo I would say. And I probably wouldn't put my picture up there because no one wants to look at that, but, it's never too late. And now's the time to do it. You know, like I said, our focus is preventative medicine. If we catch something early enough, then it's a simple fix, and you don't have to deal with it for 30 years. It's something that we want to be proactive about because it's, you know, coming to see me for 30 minutes out of your year is a lot more simple than having to go through treatments for something that's we've let go and is severe.
And I know my grandfather died at 52 of a heart attack. Now, mm-hmm. I'm thinking in the early 60s that testing that, like we were talking about, has come so far that he might have been able to have caught that.
Yeah. And, you know, heart disease especially is, you know, very, very common, especially in central PA. Genetically, we have a lot of heart disease here. But then there's lots of lifestyle factors, right? So in the 50s, smoking was a lot more prevalent then. And smoking, not only is it bad for your lungs, but it's bad for your heart, which people don't always realize. It constricts blood vessels and can cut off blood flow to your heart. You're right. The screening wise, we didn't check cholesterol as often back in the mid 20th century. And we've found that, you know, cholesterol isn't just your lifestyle. It's not just, you know, eating a chicken breast instead of a steak. A lot of it is genetic in how your body processes cholesterol. And, you know, my example is I've had a patient before that he was a marathon runner. He ate salads and ran marathons and his cholesterol was through the roof and it was genetic. And it was, you know, his family history was bad. And, you know, sometimes you can fight a lot of things on your own, but, you know, you can't fight your genes. So that's a big part of it. And it's, you know, like I said, the more proactive we are, if you have really bad genetic cholesterol and we get that controlled early on in life, then there's not as much clogging of your arteries and you're going to have a lot healthier life and it's not going to see all the damage later on.
Is annual to be checked out annually, assuming there's nothing else wrong, is that kind of what you aim for? Or?
Yeah. So, I mean, if everything is normal and, you know, like I said, your cholesterol and blood pressure are controlled and you're not diabetic and health-wise you're doing pretty well, I see you once a year. Like I said, in the younger population, when they're 20s and 30s, it might be every 2 years. But they're, you know, I only drag you back in more often if it's something that we're trying to battle to control. You know, but usually once a year for a physical. And like I said, we do our blood work in-house. So it's, you know, it's one-stop shop kind of. But, you know, I think it's, you know, for just the guys that are generally healthy and there's not a lot of issues. And once a year is, I think, pretty reasonable for 30 minutes to get checked out.
I'm always happy that I drink a lot of water and don't smoke. And my blood pressure has been reasonable. So those are encouraging things.
Absolutely.
As I get close to 60, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, if hopefully no one has heard this part of this show and said, I don't want to listen, it'll stress me out, but actually has stayed tuned. But what do you say to those people to say, just do it today?
Listen, you know, it's not something to feel stressed over. You know, there is a lot of stress and anxiety around, you know, medicine and physicians. And, you know, it's not something to be stressed over. It's something to deal with that stress, right? And so it's, you know, 99.999% of the time I'm giving someone good news, and it's, you know, reassuring. And you, if you have that baseline anxiety, getting good news takes that anxiety off your shoulders. Yes. Instead of, you know, piling more on, because it's, you're going to, if you have anxiety already, it's going to just pile more and more until you get good news and where you're convinced that something's really wrong. So I think that, you know, getting checked out, getting, you know, knowing that you're in a good place, or learning the tools to get yourself into that good place early, relieves a lot of that underlying stress. And I think that's what people don't realize. They think avoiding it's going to make them feel better, but it doesn't. It weighs on your mind whether you think about it or not.
And if you're one like me, make the appointment as soon as possible, because it gives you less time to worry about going there.
And that's, you know, one of the things that we do is, you know, and we did it with you as well, is you know, when you came in for your physical, we scheduled you for next year already. Because if it's already on the books, you're less likely to cancel it and not show up.
Yes.
So, you know, we try to make it as easy as possible for people to, you know, make this part of their lives without affecting the rest of their life. But, you know, it's certainly something that you don't want to ignore.
I wasn't sure if that was a normal process or you said, this guy, get him on the books.
Yeah. No. We try to do it for everyone.
Okay,
and we try to. It's kind of the inner workings. And it's, like I said, we're more likely to not have people fall through the gaps and go 3-4 years without seeing them if we're giving them appointments and scheduling them already. So it's not just you. It's something we try to do for everyone, whether you're a little kid or, you know, great grandpa in the nursing home. Everyone's, you know, kind of in that routine.
That's a relief for me. Okay. Hey, thanks for being with us on the program. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
All the
glad to be
information
here.
And advice.
No, absolutely.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.